Welcome you to turn your Bibles to Galatians 4. And was this supposed to happen the way it did? Was this the right time? Did Jesus come the way God had purposed it? Or is it just some happenstance that it occurred the way it did? Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, says this: "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that You would be with us tonight, that we would see the glory of Your coming. God, that we would understand Your purpose in sending Your Son. God, that we would never forget what this day is all about, that it truly is a picture and a story of redemption. God, be with us now as we hear from Your Word. I pray that by Your Spirit it would go out and it would not return to You empty, without accomplishing everything that You desire for it to accomplish. God, we look forward to hearing from You. I pray that You teach us even tonight. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a movie watcher, have you ever wondered why almost every movie that comes out of Hollywood has like one of about five basic plots? You know, everything is the same as the same, the one before it. Or how about this one? You know, boy meets girl. Boy loves girl and tries to impress girl. Girl doesn't love boy, but loves a sleazeball instead. Until some major conflict, at which boy then comes in as the hero, and the girl realizes that boy's not all that bad after all, and they live happily ever after. How many of those movies have you seen? Right? And we keep going. You know, they should at least come up with something new for us to go to the movies. But they keep making them, and we keep going. Why? Because we love it. There's certain stories that continue to grip us to the core because they really tell of a world that we all desire. A world where things are going to be kind of set right. Even if the plot is utterly unbelievable, we go back because it reminds us of the way things ought to be. The girl should love the nice kid, not the sleazeball. But then there's also tons of movies that not on the boy meets girl variety, but on the rescuer variety. You know this one. You know, the friend gets captured or lost, and someone, friend, family, a police officer, someone says, "You know what, I'm going to go and save them and rescue them. I'm going to go and bring them back." And the rescuer goes through horrible challenges, and he finds the person and rescues the victim, even many times costing their own life or costing them great harm. And then the victim is reunited to their family. How many of those movies have you seen? Tons. And isn't that really the movie that captivates me entirely? The one that says, all right, this is all about somebody giving their life for somebody else. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of rescue. And really, it tells a story of the world that I long to live in. I long for things to be set right again. I long for victims to be reunited to their families. I long to see someone willing to actually sacrifice themselves for somebody else. Maybe even to the point of great harm or even their life. I long to see that. Why does it grip us? Because it's a story of redemption. It's a story of God or of someone setting this world right again. And that is exactly what the story of Christmas is. It's a story we tell every year. And it's almost a story we don't get tired of. We just tell it over and over and over. But at times, we miss what the story is really about. That the story, rightly understood, should grip us to the very core of our being. Because it's a story of redemption and a story of rescue. And God is the primary actor at the center of this story. It really is. In this story, we see God's rescuing love. What's the first part of verse 4? "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son." It was God's plan. God breaks into our story. He breaks into history. He breaks into the way things are going. He intervenes. And He does it on His timetable. And why was there a need for Him to intervene? Because God made everything good. And we made a royal mess of everything. And everything's breaking around us. And He comes to rescue His people and rescue His creation. He comes to set things right again. And so when God intervenes, restoration is brought about. It really is a story of rescue and of restoration. But in that story, we see God's redeeming love. He goes on, he says, God was born, would fully come. God had sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. What in the world does that mean? Born of a woman. I think we can figure that one out, right? That God the Father sent his son to be born as a baby in this world. This is not some Hollywood story. This is not some fictitious event. This is God taking on real flesh and real bone. This is God saying, I'm going to become hungry. This is God saying, I'm willing to cry. God needing to be cared for at the side of his mother. He was born of a woman, really and truly. But he was born under law to redeem those under law. What does it mean to be under something? To be oppressed by something? To have something weighing on you? It's to be born under law. It's something that you're required to do, the law. But yet, that which you are completely and utterly unable to do. You know, that what we are expected to keep, we couldn't possibly keep it. What is it to be under law? It is to be expected to do something and have no earthly ability to do it. Not one person in this room can expect to keep God's law perfectly. But yet we were all born under the law of God. And so what is God's coming to do? He comes under law and he does what we were unable to do. Where we didn't have a chance. The beauty is what we were completely unable to do, he accomplishes for us. Redemption is not just God forgetting about our sin and our waywardness, forgetting that we rebelled and went our own way. It is God accomplishing for us what we were required to do. So you see this idea that Christmas is not just, and the life of Jesus is not just about the cross. It's about Jesus living what we were supposed to live. And in the way that we were expected to do. But it goes on in Matthew 1, it says that his name will be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So not only does he meet the law's demands for us, but he also endures the law's punishment on our behalf. He lived a life of active obedience and then he suffered a sacrificial death for our law breaking. That's sometimes what we call sin, where we go our own way and we say to God, we have a better way figured out. So Jesus not only lived a life of perfection, a life of doing what we were required to do, the expectations of the law of God, but then he suffers the penalty that we deserve for not meeting that. So he accomplishes perfect obedience and he pays the penalty for his people. That's where this story is going. This story of a birth, of a baby in a manger is marching right towards the cross. Jesus doesn't stay in the manger. He lives and he dies for the rescue and the redemption of his people. Christmas, as cute as it is to talk about baby Jesus, Christmas is a story of redemption and a story of rescue. Brian Chappell, he's the president of Covenant Seminary. It's where I went to school. He tells a story of this happening back in his hometown that he grew up in. Two brothers were playing on sandbanks next to the river where he grew up. And they were running one after the other and playing. They ran up this large mound of sand, but this mound of sand wasn't solid. It kind of had holes in it. If you know anything about these huge mounds on sandbanks, there can often be holes that you can often drop through. And sure enough, the boys didn't come back for dinner. And so the family, neighbors, they organized a search party. And they went out and they found the younger brother kind of buried up to his chest in sand. And he was unconscious. So they were digging him away. And he actually woke up when they got the sand down to about his waist. And they said, "Where's your brother? Where's your brother?" To which he said, "I'm standing on his shoulders." The older brother giving the life, his life, for his younger brother. And why does that story grip us to such an extent? No, not only is it loss of a brother, but it is the love of one brother for his other. It is truly a life of sacrifice and of love, a tangible love, where the older brother gives his life for the younger. That's a story of redemption. And that's what Christmas is all about, is that God sent his son, born under law, born of a woman, to redeem those under law. Why? He goes on, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So it's not just this rescue story. It's not just this story of redemption. It is an adoption story. That we might receive the full rights of sons. If you turn on any episode of Dr. Phil, what do you see? Dr. Phil, you see people in horrific places in their life, stories of addiction, self-destruction, dangerous behavior, all sorts of crazy stuff. And after a while, after the first commercial break of any of those times, you usually hear many times the wound of a father lying beneath the struggle that these people are facing. A wound of constant anger, rejection, maybe an absent father, a dad working too much, a piercing phrase that cut to the very core of their being, or maybe just a dad that just doesn't talk about things that really matter. And I would say that is probably not the experience of just people on Dr. Phil. That's probably most people that kind of make their way through life. There tends to be a wound that just a longing for a father to love them as absolutely a father should. So what is the beauty of Christmas? The beauty of Christmas is the grace of God. It is not just that it's a rescue story and a redemption story. It is that we become the full rights of sons. That we come into the family of God. That what may be lacking in your earthly father and how he brought you up can be healed by your father in heaven. That we have the full rights of sons. Who was able to own property in the ancient world? It was sons. And it's not some sexist thing that he's writing in the Bible. It's that those who know Christ, he says male or female, Jew or Greek, everybody who is in Christ is as beloved as the most beloved son in the family of God. And who is that? Jesus. And so the beauty of Christmas is that you, if you know Christ, are as loved as God the Father loves God the Son. It is a story of rescue, a story of redemption, and ultimately a story of adoption. The purpose of God, the forgiveness of God, all of those things are amazing. But what's the end for the people of God is that we are part of the family of God. The story of Christmas is a story of bringing children into families. And God takes on flesh. He lives among us. He leads himself to the cross. Why? To redeem and buy back his people, giving them the full rights of sons in the family. He emptied himself of all that was his so that we might have his abundance. We might become the children of God. I don't know if you've ever talked to someone who's had the privilege of adopting. But talk to them about the journey to adopt their children. I think of my brother who's adopted 3 kids from Ethiopia. He was willing to incur debt. He emptied his savings account. All of these different things to pursue children and bring them into his home. It's a story of rescue and redemption, yes, but ultimately, for the sake of the children, they are brought from an orphanage in Ethiopia to the security of a family. It was the move of a father pursuing his kids. And that's the story of Christmas. If you stop at Christmas morning and Jesus stays in the manger, you don't understand Christmas. Because it is Jesus coming on a rescue mission. Jesus coming to redeem and buy back his people. Jesus coming to bring his children into the family of God. It's an adoption story. And if you are finding yourself today saying, you know what, I'm completely lost. I feel like I have no rudder in life. That is God's Spirit saying to you, come to me. Place your faith in me. Come to me and I want to make you my child. Why? Because I threw myself out of heaven for your sake to bring you into the family of God. How did he bring it about? He brought it about at the cross. That he didn't just stay in safety, he actually threw himself into difficulty and peril to bring his people into his family. How did he do that? By becoming the Lamb of God, who was slaughtered, who was killed for the sins of his people. His name will be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Let's pray. Jesus, I ask that even tonight, as we hear that in that time that you desire, the fullness of time, God, that you sent your Son Jesus into our midst. Father, that you came on a rescue mission, a mission of redemption, but not just this story of defeating great odds, but God, one, bringing children into your family. God, I pray that we would get that. I pray that we would get that we are as loved as you love Jesus because of this story of Christmas, his death on the cross, that he went there for our benefit. God, I pray that you would convince us of that. Father, I pray that you would draw people to yourself even tonight. Father, that we would not miss the grace of God in the story of Christmas. Father, convince us of that truth. Help us to see that it is you bringing in kids to your family. Father, that we are your children and we have that privilege because of your work. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.